Hey, everybody. This is B on Dot Paul Podcast with a bonus podcast. Happy summer to y'all. Hope you're having a good one. It officially starts on the 21st, which is a couple of days away. So I said, hey, I have the day off. I just had breakfast. I don't want to watch the History Channel again about something I already know about, because everybody knows I know everything about everything. So I said, hey, and I say hey a lot, FYI, let's do a podcast about summer. So this is some bonus content. I'll post this today, and we'll just all say happy summer to each other and high five and get a suntan. Drink some iced tea, you know, stuff. So let me start by saying, she sells seashells by the seashore. The shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure. So if she sells seashells on the seashore, then I'm sure she sells seashore sales. So that's a classic tongue twister, as you can tell. And I ran that through some AI chatbot, and the chatbot got a little tongue twisted, especially the shells are seashells part. In your face, AI. So just what is summer, you're asking? And of course, it's one of the four seasons. And of course, between spring and fall is typically characterized by long days, short nights, and warmer weather. Yay, yay, yay. The exact timing of summer may vary depending on the region or the calendar system being used. Here in the great state of Texas, it's June 21st, this coming Wednesday, so I'll date this podcast with that. And that will be the official first day of summer. So during the summer, the Earth's axis is tilted toward the sun, so it's hotter. Wrap your brain around that. We're not melting. Pretty sure there's no climate change happening. It's just the Earth doing what the Earth does, because the Earth does stuff, resulting in a more direct sunlight and higher temperatures in the northern hemispheres. In the southern hemisphere, summer occurs at the same time, but with opposite timing. Uh-oh, what are you saying, B? I'm saying it may be summer here in the great state of Texas, in the United States of America, but it may not be summer in other parts of the world that are in the southern hemisphere. It may be a little chilly down there, but then when it's cold up here, it's warm down there. Hence the snowbird term. You know, people with a whole bunch of money have homes in the northern hemisphere, in the southern hemisphere, and I don't know anybody like that. Summer is often associated with activities like vacations. Yay, yay, yay. Outdoor sports, 10-4, barbecues, which we do a lot here in the Texas. Not grilling, but barbecues. Picnics, swimming, spending time at the beach. One of my favorite things to do. Many people enjoy the opportunity to engage in outdoor recreational activities and take advantage of the pleasant weather, especially snowbirds, especially people who live north of Tennessee, who live up there in the, what I just call the frozen north. Sorry, fellow Americans, but I've never been down with cold weather. I was raised in the South, and I'm staying here. It's also a time when schools and universities often have extended breaks, allowing students and families to enjoy their time off. So, you know, that's important. When I was a boy, we would go to school. let's see, what's that, nine months out of the year. And I thought it would never end. I was not a good student. I didn't hate school. I just could think of a lot of other things that I would be doing, like nothing. And sleeping late. When you're young, you sleep a lot. What a waste of time. Good coffee. Really good coffee. Well, thank you, B. Back to being a boy. And, I really enjoyed my summer times when I was really young. A child, that what I can remember is getting out of school, turning your books in, and basically throwing everything away that you had spent the whole year hoarding, keeping, learning, and you just, all that stuff you just threw away. My mother kept my pictures I painted. You know, you draw things and you write things. My mother kept a box of that stuff forever because she was my mom and she was proud of me. Kept one of my sister too, because my sister is, she's really smart. And, she wrote a thesis, when she was like 12, about stuff, and I was, I rode a bike. So, we would get out of school and, I remember the next day, it was weird because next day, probably maybe a week, couple days, into the summer vacation. And, you may be up because you're used to getting up early, and now you don't have anything to do. And back then, mom would say, "What are you doing in the house? Exit, stage left." And you would get on your bike. You'd go out in the yard. You would think more ways to prank your sister, because, that's what you do when you're a big brother. Those are kind of, moral imperatives. And then you would get into the summer routine. 3 months isn't a lot. 90 days, if you're lucky. But to a child, a young person, that's an eternity. 90 days is, 9 years. And you make the most of it. You have a very good time. And that is how you spend your summer vacation. I'm pretty sure everybody has summer vacation memories. As I got older, we moved, lived for a while in a house that had a pool, and many houses in the neighborhood had pools. And then friends would come over and we would swim. We swam so our hands would get not blistered, but all wrinkly and stuff. Our fingertips and our toes, and we got toasty. We got brown. We were brown. And neighbor kids would come and go, and we'd eat hot dogs and hamburgers next to the pool and wait the obligatory 30 minutes, because you just don't jump back into the pool after eating, because you'll cramp up and, sea monsters will appear. Not really sure if that's true or not, but it's probably the right thing to do. Take a break, sit in the shade, and like I said, people would come, people would go, best friend lived across the street, known him for 50 plus years now. It's hard to believe that, we're 64 now, and, when we were boys, we were 10 years old. Crazy. And then life happened to both of us. Now we're both back here in Dallas together. Very cool. So, here we are, it's summertime, and, you get older. Then there are cars involved. There are girls involved. I remember when I first started noticing girls, the year before, yeah, okay, my sister's friends, whatever. And then the next year's like, my sister has friends, damn. And, you know, they blossom. I'll just say it straight up. You know, boys blossom, I guess, quote unquote, blossom a couple years later. Girls, women are ahead of us. And I'm not sure about the grand design of that, but it messed with my head. I used to lay in bed at night thinking, wait a minute. Last year, that homely girl that lives next door is now this beautiful woman that lives next door, and I must marry her. And she wouldn't speak to me or any boy our age, her age, because she was interested in older guys a couple of grades up from us, a couple of years up from us. Got to be some kind of grand design that I'm not aware of involved there. So, but yeah, summertime is, you know, time to unleash, time to grow, time to have fun. You know, my cats, they sun munch. They're sun munchers. Cats, I'm pretty sure dogs, probably most animals, love to be in the sun. Cats will sit in the sun in the wintertime, you know, with their back to the sun. And in the summertime, they'll roll over their bellies in the sun and sun munch, much like you do when you're sunbathing at the beach. Another one of my activities that I'm very, very good at sitting at the beach. It's, you know, it's an art, you know, it's something that, you just want to do right. Let's see. So what is a summer vacation? It's typically called you're going to take a 2-week vacation during the summertime. You know, that became very popular when I started working. I remember my dad doing that. And so we're at home. Dad's at home. Mom's at home because mom was a homemaker. And so there's only four of us, but that's a lot of people in the house all the time. So I know mom, she liked her garden club and the ladies auxiliary. She did a lot of things with the church, and she wasn't around a lot, and dad was in charge, which was perfect because dad was in charge. And I just did what I did. So 2-week vacation typically refers to a period of 2 weeks. Imagine that during the summer season when individuals and family take off from work, school, and other responsibilities to relax, travel, and engage in recreational activities. So we did all of that. We relaxed, we traveled, and we did engage in recreational activities. Activitize. During 2-week summer vacation, people often plan trips. My dad planned trips for us, and we would go places or activities to make the most of their time off. I'll get into that a little bit later here. This could include going on a holiday to a different city or country, visiting family and friends, exploring tourist attractions, enjoying outdoor activities, hiking, swimming, camping, or simply taking time to unwind and rejuvenate. We did all of that. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. Duration of the summer vacation can vary depending on personal preferences, you know, work or school schedules, individual circumstances. Some people may opt for shorter vacations, such as a week long, while others may plan longer trips spanning several weeks. Ultimately, a 2-week summer vacation allows individuals and families to take significant amount of time from their usual routines, providing opportunity to rest, recharge, and create lasting memories during the summer season. And that certainly happened to my family. I have great memories of the summer. So let's run through some of these traveling. You know, my dad would load us up. I've talked about the Vista Cruiser before. Load us up in the Vista Cruiser, and that's a real thing. And we would go places. We would travel places. In Texas, the great place to go to would be Galveston. I had an uncle that had a house down there. And many, many trips down to Galveston or Bolivar Island. You really want to get specific. It's where I spent my summer times. We would go down there for a week, maybe two. I don't recall how long we were down there. I just remember I rode mini bikes, went to the beach, went deep sea fishing, went crabbing, hung out with my cousins, barbecued with my dad and my uncle. Grandmama was down there. My mother's mother. And it was just glorious. And sister was there too. So it was awesome. And then we'd pack up in the Vista Cruiser again and go home. Sometimes we would, my mom would have an idea, cause she had great ideas about, where to go and what to do. And, I think that's what led us to the Lake of the Ozarks and the Red Apple Inn. We went up there a couple of times. I liked it. Not as much as I liked the beach, but I remember really liking the hotel. It was nestled, as they say, in the Ozark Mountains, and to me seemed like the middle of nowhere. Very wooded, very secluded on the lake of the Ozarks, and loved it. I went up there with a neighborhood friend once, and he caught the biggest frickin' bass I think me and my dad had ever seen, and I think I caught a couple smaller bass, and dad caught, but you could not beat this fish. It was just a huge monster, big mouth, and it was like the first or second cast and the very first day, and then we're done. Time to come home. But realistically, and I remember my mother having playing cards from that place. I used to have a piece of artwork from there that over the years is lost to time. I wish I still had it. I have a very small piece of artwork that I still have that reminds me of that time. It's a wonderful, beautiful item. And that was great. I remember going several times to different places, and me and my sister, especially going down to Galveston, we would stop. I just think Dad didn't want to drive, you know, that much. And we would stop at a hotel, and we would get hotel itis. Me and my sister loved the hotel. So we were in a room, you know, there were two beds, two doubles, mom and dad, me and the sister, and we would go swimming. Even though we had a swimming pool, we would go swimming at the hotel swimming pool, and it's the greatest thing ever. I don't know why we thought that that was so cool. Went down to South Texas a couple of times. My mother was from Houston. And stayed down there a couple of times, not as far south as Bolivar Island, but, you know, we were in a hotel, and we loved it. You know, that was my vacation. And let's see, went to Six Flags Over Texas several times. Love Six Flags. Went to Mississippi a couple of times, went over to Vicksburg and saw my my aunt and her family. The South is a very unforgiving place in the summertime, especially July and August. It's just freaking hot and it's humid. And I'm amazed that the Union Army won, because they had to put up with that nonsense, and it's pretty unforgiving down there. So we would have all that, and then we would be at home, and you know, I used to go to summer camp. So I'll tell you about Camp Mondamin. That's what it was called. I went a couple of times. I remember two trips. The first trip, in this old rickety school bus, kind of like the, you ever seen that summer movie Meatballs? Watch that. That's Camp Mondamin right there. So got this rickety school bus, and you were told to put your stuff in a duffel bag, not a suitcase, but a duffel bag. Okay. So Dad got me a duffel bag from Army Surplus and said U.S. Army or something on it, had a number on it. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And Mom put my, whatever it was, like 8 pairs of underwear, because you had to have a spare, 8, you know, undershirts, you know, 8 shorts, you know, 8 of everything, because you're going to be there a week, but you had to have a spare for everything. Couple pairs of shoes. Flip-flops weren't a big thing at that time, that I recall. Had some tennis shoes, as we used to call them. And then you had your little kit. You had a toothbrush and toothpaste and soap. And if you were old enough, you had deodorant. Back then, you had Right Guard, and it was an aerosol, because we were hell-bent on destroying the ozone layer. So you would get all this stuff, put it in the duffel bag, and then get on this bus, which was a school bus, and then they would drive you out literally the frickin' middle of nowhere down a dirt road, and then you come around this corner, and there's this camp. There's the main building, which where you ate breakfast, and the counselors had meetings there, and in the back there's a big campfire area and a big deck, and the river ran by there, the Strong River. And then over to the left, there was a pool, in this big cleared out area. There was an Olympic sized swimming pool, and they had 2 lifeguards. And there was a fence around it to apparently keep the deer out and whatever other critters wanted to drink the chlorinated water. And then you would look more up to the left, and there are the cabins, you know, cabins. So I think there's 12 or 15 cabin. Oh, let's say I was in cabin, I don't know, 9 maybe, number 9. And each cabin had a counselor, an older kid, much older. Typically, they were high school seniors or first-year college kids, and they were usually phys ed people, you know, somebody you would see in school, you know, regular school during the school year. And they were associated with gym class, which I was like, oh, this is not going to turn out well for us, because I was a nerd even back then. You know, I was into weather stations and ham radio and CB radio and television, and taking anything apart in the house that wasn't, you know, that my mom told me, do not take the toaster apart because your dad likes toast in the morning. So roger, roger, Mom. But anything else, I took it apart. And with my, you know, I would say, hey, Dad, what's up with that TV? He goes, unplug it before you start wrenching on it. And I was like, okay. And so I was still a nerd. And then I showed up at this camp. So you get the big talk, and they pull out your duffel bags. And by that time, they had stapled your boarding pass on it, if you will. So your name was on it, and somebody would randomly come by, write a 1, 2, you know, down to 15. So mine had a 9 on it. And then all the 9s would get, duffel bags would get taken in a golf cart over to 9 and 15 and 3 and whatever. So everybody's, and then you were told, B, you're in cabin 9 with counselor, blah, 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 whatever it was. They had weird made up Indian names, much like, you know, not the Cub Scouts, but the Eagle Scouts and, the Weebelows. That's what the Weebelows. And like, you're in, so we'll just call him, Foot of the Bigfoot. And you would report to your cabins, campers. And so that's what you would do. And then you would go and, you would report. And then the dude would be standing, at the, top of the stairs. And it was literally a cabin, you know, made out of wood. It was off the ground, you know, pier and beam. And, it was, screen. There were no windows, just screen open, because we need to get some breeze up in here, bro. There was electricity. There's like one bare bulb in the middle that was turned off promptly at 9 o'clock at night and turned on promptly at 6 a.m. in the morning. And then Bigfoot of Foots would say, "Barrier, you're in bunk six," or whatever, you know. And then, like, there it was, and he would point to it, and you would put your duffel bag down. And this was like, I was just thinking, man, dude, are we in the Army? We're supposed to be, like, riding horses and canoeing and macrameing and campfiring. What are we doing? And then the dude would explain who he was and what he expected. And I think he expected us just to be kids and, you know, don't catch anything on fire. Remember that was, whoever likes to play with fire, get out of my cabin. We do not do that here. We have campfires and you can pyro down there. Later on, this is one of the guys that would tell ghost stories down by the campfire and throw bottles of hairspray into the campfire, and they'd explode and scare the shit out of everybody. So this guy, yeah, was telling us not to be pyros. So anyway, Foot of Bigfoot is giving us the rules. And by that time, I guess it's time for lunch, and we hear the chow bell. They literally had a triangle. And he goes, "When you hear that, run for the main office and get in line, because sometimes they run out of food." And that put the fear of no food in me. And every time I heard that thing, I don't care what I was doing, peeing, pooping, whatever. And sometimes, especially early in the morning, because I like my breakfast, like a big breakfast, I would wait and I would see the person come out, the cook come out, you know, like dressed like a cook, and because that's what cooks do. And I'm out, I'm gone. What I did not realize is the first people from each cabin set the plates and the dinner in the breakfastware, the lunchware, the dinnerware, and also cleaned up the table. You were a busboy. Congratulations for running your ass. So I learned to trot. So I'd let the other people run past me. We had people in our cabin. They were, you know, counselor pleasers. They were just like, "Oh, did you see what I did, Foot of Bigfoot? Did you see what I did?" Yeah, it's great. You put the plastic plates in the plastic, you know, cups and the knives and forks down perfectly. And then we would say a prayer. We would have a big prayer in the room. In the mornings, we'd all also say the Pledge of Allegiance. There was a big American flag, and we would put our hands over our heart, and we would say the pledge, which everyone knew. This is something that you knew. I find it difficult to believe that people don't know the Pledge of Allegiance or need the words to it. Anyway, so we would say the pledge. Then right after that, we would say a prayer, thanking the Father for the food. And then we would chow down. There's a lot of eggs, a lot of bacon, a lot of whatever it was. It was a lot of it. And then we would eat, obviously. The counselors drank coffee. We had milk and orange juice. I hadn't started drinking coffee then. Then you go back to the cabin, and you had a schedule that had now been posted on the cabin. It's in the middle on a post. Not that the cabin needed a post. There was just one there for posting stuff up. The same post had a fan on it that turned back and forth, you know. I remember I slept on that side and where the counselor was, and at night I would get a little whiff of that fan, and it was glorious. And then there would be a thing. It's like B, you know, archery, B, badminton, B, canoeing, B, horseback riding. So I did all those things. I had an archery ribbon because I had done the bow and arrow earlier in my career as a Cub Scout, and I knew a little bit thing about the archery, and I was okay at it. I think I came in second or something like that. And then badminton, which I knew nothing about, believe it or not, I came in third. Me and my teammate, remember correctly, first place ribbon, those were, I think they were red or gold, I'm not sure. Second was blue, and third was white. And I came back with a couple blue, a white. And then they give you this yellow ribbon. It's not gold, or it's this yellow for participating just in the camp itself. And I had a couple patches for a while that I had on a jacket, Mon Damon, whatever the year was. And so I did those things, loved horseback riding. I love canoeing. I love the Strong River. We went camping, so we would go down the Strong River, and then we'd camp at night, and then hairspray bottles would be thrown into the campfire and scare the you-know-what out of us, because we were told ghost stories, and when you're a kid, you believe all this stuff. And it happened here on the Strong River, or back in camp. You know, we're going to go back to camp and everybody's going to be dead. And then the crazed killer is going to kill us. And then they're going to sing songs and tell the other campers about us. And I said, I bet all the campers are all buried someplace around here. I thought that for a long time because I was a weird kid. I watched too much sci-fi, probably. So I did all those things, swimming. There's a swimming pool. And then there was just times of doing nothing. So they had a break room off from the main room, and they had chips and cold drinks, and you could get a sandwich. Nothing was cooked down there. So you got a sandwich. And back in the day, I like Zero Bars. I don't know if anybody remembers Zero Bars. They were Zero Bars, I believe. And a Sprite or 7-Up, either one. And some people read comic books. Some people just talked or rapped. And or you could just walk out the back and take a nature hike. You're supposed to go with someone else. Always, you don't walk into the woods by yourself because angry native species, wolves, I assume. And you just don't want to get lost because you're out there in your shorts and T-shirts. You know, it may get a little chilly at night. So we did all of that, and I have fond memories of Camp Mon Damon, and we sang campfire songs around the campfire. The most iconic thing you could do. I think someone had a guitar, and you would sing. Some people could actually sing. You know, if you can't sing, just sing along with the chorus. There were girls at this thing, at this camp. And at that time, probably the next summer and the summer after that, I was beginning to go, hey, look, girls. And, so I think we were in 1 through 9 and they were in, 10 through 15 or whatever. And, there was no separation between the last boys' cabin and the first girls' cabin. I'm pretty sure there was some counselor activities going on, but I cannot say for sure, but pretty sure that's why some of those guys were counselors, because who would want to be in a cabin with, was there 9 or 10 of us probably in a cabin? I don't know. But it seemed like too many to me. But at the end of this thing, all those guys were now your brothers. And we did the whole blood brother thing too, where you cut your finger, everybody, and then you intermingle blood. We did that on purpose. No, a lot of people think, oh, that's you're living dangerous, B. Why would you do that? Because we're blood brothers, you know, because although we're Caucasian, we identify as Native Americans. So I don't know. That's just something we did that was big in Boy Scouts and even big in Cub Scouts. So let's go to the beach now. I love going to the beach. Been to many beaches. Of course, the first beaches I was at were, you know, in Galveston and that area with my uncle and my cousins and my family. Texas is not known for beautiful beaches, but we have beaches. More to the, so that would be to the west, over in the Corpus area. They're a little more pleasing to the eye, and love the beach. As I got older, went to a lot of Florida beaches where the beaches are really, really white. And I learned early on, came out of the hotel, had to go back in. I go, what is that? Well, that's the sun, but it's glaring, literally glaring off the beach. And I had to buy a pair of sunglasses and walk around with sunglasses on, which I thought was the coolest thing in the world to do, because you didn't walk around sunglasses on back then, you know. But I realized why everybody has sunglasses on then. And then as I got older, I started traveling. Obviously, you know, I like Belize. I've told many people I like Belize, Abner's Key, Cocker Key, the large islands. They're not, well, Abner's Key is a little big, but Cocker Key is not that big. There's nobody there. San Pedro Town is a beautiful place. I would love to be able to retire there, to have a house there. Wouldn't take much for me to be happy there. When I mean much, I mean dollar-wise. That's why a lot of people go there. They prefer the U.S. dollar, even though it is a territory of Great Britain, where, you know, they have the pound, and then they have their own Belize currency. But nobody uses it. Everybody likes the U.S. dollar. And everybody speaks English. So I would probably fit in there very well. But it's just a beautiful place. I fell in love with it. Before I went there, I thought I would like it. And after going there, I know I like it. Florida is very nice. Florida can be very expensive to live in. I thought about leaving Texas and moving there. I just did not want to sell everything and then pack the remaining stuff up in my truck and pulling a trailer and getting a small place in Florida and totally rebooting that way. So I decided to stay in Texas where I'm from, in North Texas. But I can visit Florida, in which I plan to do. And I've been to the Caribbean several times, and I love it down there. Tulum is beautiful. Really like it there. Cancun is beautiful. Too many people there, but I think Tulum for me is the place to be if I'm going to be in Mexico on the beach. Love everything about that. You know, the getting up, the eating breakfast, the laying on the beach, the lounging with the pools, the, you know, the frozen drinks that I never drink, all the different food that you can have in Mexico. It's just wonderful. So you have sunbathing, swimming, you know, building sandcastles, playing beach volleyball. Spending time at a beach is a classic summer activity, and I love it. So you can take that to the beach bank. You know, summer here in the United States is, you know, the boys of summer. Baseball, you know, and then there's soccer, tennis, golf, cycling, hiking, and basketball. All of those things are huge, but baseball is the biggest. Go Rangers. It's a great time to enjoy physical activities in the pleasant weather. I prefer to watch these things now as an older gentleman. I do walk a lot. I was never a baseball player. I played football, but never baseball. And then when I couldn't play football anymore because everybody had that burst of growth, and I had a little bit, but not a lot, I became a sports caster, if you will. I moved up to the booth, and I reported on football and baseball and basketball to the paper, and that was interesting. I was okay at it, but I didn't want to do that for a living. So that, you know, here in Texas, we have barbecues and we have picnics, you know, so it's either in the backyard garden or maybe out at a lake, a lot of lakes here in North Texas, grilling food, enjoying outdoor meals, and just socializing. Now, we barbecue, we smoke a lot of meat here, and we do grill. My neighbor, famously, my new neighbor here, when I was looking at this house, looked over the fence, and he's got like five grills out there, like two smokers and a couple of grills. And first weekend I was here, he invited me to come over, and he had the smokers going, he had the grills going, you name it, and it was on. Good times. And although it can be warm here, you can get in the shade, you can have a cold beverage of your liking and have a good time. And if you feel like you're getting a little hot, you just walk inside, calm down, you know, get cooled off, and then go back at it. You know, a lot of people go camping. You know, I camped as a boy, as a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout, and I really didn't like it. You know, the camping in that was, you know, they wanted, like, we're going to go camping, but while we're camping, you're going to learn how to use a knife, a bow and arrow that you make yourself. You may eat a wolf. Well, first, you have to kill the wolf. And then, you know, we did learn about astronomy, navigating by sun and moon. I did like that because, as I said, I was a nerd. But those other things, the whole camping thing, and also the camping gear for Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts was very primitive, I thought. I just didn't like it. Later on, as I got older, I camped. I camped on my motorcycle. I bought some stuff and put it on the back of my bike, and I went to a campsite a little bit. There's a place in Oklahoma called Beaver's Bend. If you're in this area, if you're in North Texas, I suggest everybody go up to Beaver's Bend. They have cabins up there. These cabins, though, they have air conditioning and electricity and no counselors. And they have campsites. So I would ride my motorcycle up there, park the bike, you know, next to a picnic table, and there was a grill. You've seen them before. And put my tent up and have my sleeping bag, and I had a cooler full of ice, and typically get the ice right before I go to the campsite, and camp there. So after you ride a motorcycle, I don't know if you realize this or not, but your butt may hurt, your back may hurt, and then you sleep on the floor. The first time I did that, I had to invest in a little blow-up mattress, if you will, and that was the best, whatever that was, $20 that I spent. And it was kind of canvas covered, and it never popped. I did sell this stuff a couple years later because I got tired of doing that. Now when I camp on my bike, I ride my bike to places I want to be, and I just stay at a hotel, you know, like a normal person. But that was fun, and I liked it. And it gave me an inner peace that I needed at the time. You know, I think in summertime, you know, I have a telescope, nerd alert, and I go out into the backyard, and I like looking at the stars and, you know, what's up? Is the moon still up there? What does it look like? And, you know, I'm Galileo all of a sudden, and who knows? Maybe I'll see something, and they'll name it after me, and it will, yeah, like, hey, there goes the bee. the B. And people are like, cool. And then they'll look me up and they'll see that I saw that first and stuff. We talked about travel and vacations. That's awesome. You know, swimming and then boating and kayaking, paddle boring, boarding, water skiing, jet skiing, fishing. So my dad had a boat. We would go boating and skiing. My sister was more the skier. I tried to ski. I face planted more times than I can remember, so I didn't do that anymore. And then fishing, me and my dad, we fished a lot in the boat, and a lot of times we would just rent, before we had the boat, just rent a John, I think they're called John boats. They're those green boats with flat hulls on them. I like those boats because you could go in someplace shallow. You could just cruise up into, you know, cut the motor and just silently cruise into a little bay and cast into a place where the bass are doing their bassness, and or crappie or whatever we have in the South that you fish on. I haven't been fishing in years. My buddy I was talking about earlier that I grew up with, his son now is a huge fisherman, so that's that warms my heart every time I hear stories of him fishing. There are festivals, outdoor events. Summer is known for festivals and concerts and outdoor movie screenings, fairs, and cultural events. The biggest fair here in Texas is the State Fair of Texas, and that's more of an October thing. I would not want to be at a State Fair of Texas in July. Just saying, that is not going to be enjoyable. And, you know, food on a stick is a little better when there's a little chill in the air, you know? So that's when the big festival is here, the big fair. A lot of concerts, a lot of outdoor shows. I used to live down by the Arboretum, the Dallas Arboretum, down at White Rock Lake. Love White Rock Lake. A gym. Lakewood is old school Dallas. And when I mean old school, I mean that's where literally families that founded Dallas, their descendants live. And the old oil money is there as well. But, you know, University Park and Lakewood. And so we live down there. I love the Arboretum. And a girlfriend and I, before I moved, relocated to California, we lived at White Rock Lake, and I loved it there. Ran around White Rock Lake, bicycled around it. We kayaked across it. And typically that was before lunchtime. So those were great activities and great memories. To have a friend and a lover involved in those was awesome. That's a whole nother podcast. So, and then I saw on this list gardening. I don't really equate gardening with the summertime, but it's true. You plant flowers and vegetables and beautify outdoor spaces. That's typically a spring and early spring thing. And then by the summertime, I hope that stuff is growing. I think maintaining more is a gardening thing in the summertime. And then we talked about outdoor dining. You know, a lot of people like restaurants and cafes and picnics and sitting on patios. Now, here in Texas, the patio weather doesn't last very long. You know, that's early spring and late fall activity here because it is freaking hot. Unless you find a patio it's not facing east-west, it's north-south, and they have those gorillas in the mist sprayer things, so it cools down the air and you're wearing, you know, very non-cotton clothes. You don't wear a cotton, so that air will pass through them. And you can have a good time on a patio, but, you know, be careful about that. It can ruin your cocktail. and possibly your buffalo wings. You know, nothing worse than a buffalo wing being ruined by hot weather. Of course, resources, location, interest, all of this, you know, is very diverse in what people like to do. So I was doing a little research about other countries, you know, like European cities like Paris and Rome and Barcelona, Amsterdam, Athens, you know, summer is popular because of the weather, outdoor cafes, historical sites, no doubt, cultural attractions, I bet. Mediterranean destinations, Greece, Italy, Corona, Turkey, you know, Italy is on my list of stuff to see. Beautiful beaches, crystal clear waters, and rich cultural heritage. You know, I want to see Italy and Belgium as well. Now, places like the Maldives, Bali, you know, Hawaii, Caribbean islands, hello, and the Seychelles, they're much sought after for their pristine beaches and landscapes and warm temperatures. That's gonna cost you something, but it's worth it. I've been to the Caribbean, got close to the Seychelles. Not a big fan of Hawaii, even though it's an American state. Bali and the Maldives, heard a lot about the Maldives, never been there. And then we have national parks. Obviously, Yellowstone is huge. I've been to Yellowstone several times. Banff National Park in Canada. I don't know a lot about that. National parks in South Africa, know nothing about them. Apparently, they're beautiful as well. You know, hiking, wildlife spotting, enjoying nature. You know, now that I basically am a walker, you know, these places will be great for someone like me. And then, of course, you know, coastal destinations, you know, the French Riviera, the coast of Italy, the Great Barrier Reef, thank you very much. And then the second barrier reef that also can be seen from space is the Mesoamerican Reef right off of Belize, of Avernus Key, which I have scuba dove on and snorkeled on. One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. Go there, see them while you can. You know, scenic beauty and water activities and beach resorts is what those places is about. And then mountains, you know, I'm not a big mountain guy. I do like the Canadian Rockies, the Rocky Mountains here in America. I think they're beautiful. I'm just not a winter guy. I'll go and I'll look and enjoy, but I don't want to be there for very long, to be really, really honest with you. And then cultural places to be: Tokyo, New York, London, Rio, Marrakesh. You know, that's vibrant city life, events, and unique experiences. Been there, done that, over it. That's me talking as an old man. You know, I like quiet. I like observing. I don't want to be in Tokyo or New York or London or any of these. I'll fly into them, and then I'm off to the country. Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden, Finland, you know, the Fjords, the Loch Ness Monster, the Midnight Sun. Wait, back up one. Loch Ness Monster? What are you talking about, B? Apparently, there's a monster, and he lives in Loch Ness. Just saying. And then opportunities, you know, for hiking and kayaking and the whole Nordic, you know, culture. Again, cold. I'll go. I'll appreciate it. Take a lot of pictures, and then I'm out of there. Love New Zealand, Costa Rica, South Africa, Canada. You know, I think New Zealand obviously is one of the most beautiful places in the world because of what was shown to us in The Lord of the Rings. And I've worked with some New Zealanders. I worked for a New Zealand software company back in the late 90s. Wonderful people. I really, really like them a lot. Very, very sweet humans. So, not all countries take a summer vacation, depending on their cultural traditions, educational systems, and work practices. Some of them just don't do that. They take family time, but they don't call it a quote-unquote summer vacation. You know, not everybody, you know, is a Griswold. Look it up. So, you know, I just want to say happy summer, everybody, and have a great summer, and enjoy. I hope you have enjoyed this bonus podcast from Dot Paul Podcast, Stuff About Stuff. This is B. And remember, accelerate with confidence.